said we were bored, but I really don't think this is a good idea. I'm a little scared to say it in front of the mirror.
Come on, just say it 3 times in front of the mirror, and he'll appear, I promise. It'll be great.
I don't really know about this, but okay. Here goes nothing. Rock God of Pod. Rock God of Pod. Rock God of Pod!
Oh, this is Charles McFall, the Rock God of Podcasting. Why have you mere mortals summoned me?
We were just looking for a little bit of entertainment.
Well, you came to the right place, because Charles McFall's got your back. What kind of entertainment are you looking for?
I don't know. What do you got?
Well, you could always say botch podcast in the mirror 3 times.
What happens?
Well, a drunk, passed out Tristan Gibbons gonna lay on the floor, and you'll be missing your livers. You're basically donating him a new liver, because he's an alcoholic.
That doesn't sound very sanitary.
It's not.
What else you got?
Well, you could try and say Blazing Defender Report 3 times.
And then?
Well, a strange man's gonna exit your mother's room wearing a small towel after basting your Thanksgiving turkey early, if you know what I mean.
No. No.
You could always try summoning Breaking the Panel. Here, I'll show you.
No, that's okay.
Movie Pass.
No.
Movie Pass.
No.
Movie Pass.
No.
You've summoned the Demon God Movie Pass. Congratulations, children. You've now signed over your soul for the next 10 years for a subscription to Movie Pass. Unrefundable. Every month you'll get 1 viewing of a direct-to-DVD movie in the movie theater. Enjoy.
My heart hurts.
Still not satisfied? Let's try this one. Geek Versus. Geek Versus. Geek Versus!
Nothing happened.
Yeah, they only show up about 30% of the time. That way they break your expectations. How about this one? Toy Power! Toy Power! Toy Power!
Still didn't seem like anything happened.
Well, just wait till you leave this bathroom. Your entire house has been robbed by criminal Australians. Sorry, that's a bit redundant to say, I know. And replaced with collectible McDonald's toys. Still not satisfied? Fine. Final offer. FTH Beyond. FTH Beyond. FTH Beyond. Here, choose one of these 3 boxes.
Which one?
Your choice.
I'll take the middle one.
Congratulations, you got cancer.
I feel like that's not the best choice.
Trust me, the other 2 boxes were filled with Hulk shards. You made out like a champ. Anyways, I'm getting a little tired. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm just going to summon myself away. www.giantsizeteamup.com. www.giantsizeteamup.com. www.giantsizeteamup.com.
Billy, I feel like we made a horrible mistake. Yep.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel. We talk about everything awesome and fun in the week. Sometimes not so fun as we might get to tonight. I'm the Rock Out of Podcast with Charles Bob. Getting my weird voices on. I don't know why hurricanes do that to you. That's what's happening. The man who's dry can be, Paul Klotz.
Hi, guys. how's it hanging?
You do a wonderful Conor Oberst impression.
And the man with the obscure references, Phil Keating.
Hi, it's wonderful to be back. This is my favorite show to be on every week.
I misheard Charles at first and thought he said upskirt references, and I was like, what the fuck?
Hey, he made one of those earlier, too, to you, directly.
He actually did.
That's funny. Since you're, are you otherwise occupied, Phil, or are you good now?
No, I'm good.
All right, cool. All right. Well, it's because your story is the first story. I wasn't going to make you jump onto that if you were wrapping some business up.
No, so, I'm good. I'm good to go.
It's business time.
It is business time.
You can tell, but my business sucks. All right.
I will say, leaning into this story, I like the twit that I did call it twit. Yeah. I like the, I can be what, what's his name?
Words, Charles. Words.
Shut up.
No.
Colbert. I could be Colbert and call it something else like he does. But if Batista follows in the footsteps and goes to DC, he's going to be Bane. They just took the Drax pose and made it Bane. I'm like, I'd be down with that. That's pretty cool. But what's your story?
Bury the lead.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't say that after I read the fucking article. All right, let's go.
You made me wait 10 minutes for 2 more minutes of your game. I do what I want.
I nominate Charles to play Bane. Because it's not a speaking role.
And we'll have Ang Lee direct it. It's going to be great.
Mutant dogs.
Back the money truck up. Let's do this.
The villain will be the movie pass monster.
No! Oh!
Shut up! Shut your dumb mouth. God, we're off to a fucking awesome start. So, James Gunn, have you heard of him?
No,
the pedophile?
Yes. God. So,
bad call. Bad.
It looks like DC is doing what DC does, and it's picking off old Marvel directors to come over to the dark side and help write the new Suicide Squad film and possibly to direct it as well.
That's what DC stands for, right? Depressing comics?
I'm almost positive you're correct on that. Yeah. So, this throws me into a goddamn loop because I don't like DC movies, and now I might be...
But you love James Gunn.
I do. So much. Like, strangely so much. So, I think it's a... Yeah, I can see it because he made it work with a, you know, team-based comedy action comic book over at Marvel. And I think that this... Oh, by the way, called it. Remember back on episode 127 when this first broke about James that I said he was going to go over to DC. Now, he's not doing the Beast Boy movie, like I said, but fucking I nailed that. Nailed it. Just like he nailed those kids. I'm fucking stoked.
About him nailing kids? What the fuck, Phil?
I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a good script. People say it might not be a sequel. It might be an actual reboot. I don't know. I'd be okay either way since I didn't bother to watch the first one. What about you, nerds? You guys watched the first, first Suicide Squad.
Dude, this would be... Well, you know what? Paul, you go because you had a really nice line in the host chat about it.
About what?
About if this plays out, that gun, yeah.
It's just yet another, you know, entry in a longstanding tradition of DC or Marvel picking off people who were previously associated with them. That's really all I had to say.
You added, and I thought I could hear you saying it. That's why I liked it. It was like, but if this is true, it's quite tasty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so James Gunn successfully took Guardians of the Galaxy, which is the most obscure of the obscure.
Yeah. Yeah,
and turned it into a household name. I talked about this when the first film came out. I will never forget being in a store and seeing soccer moms pick up Groot pop vinyls and being like, oh, it's Groot. And I was like, what fucking planet am I on? Like, how did this happen? That woman's in her 40s and, you know, dressed like a hot mom.
Wow, that's judgmental as shit.
It is, because Groot is that fucking obscure until that film. Okay,
that's fair. I didn't know who he was till the film, so I'll give you that.
Do you think people do that with Suicide Squad? Do you think people are like, oh yeah, Diablo, yo, Diablo is so dope?
It's Captain Boomerang. Oh my god.
Oh yeah. 40-something-year-old soccer moms all go, oh, Captain Boomerang, I love him.
They don't even go, that's Deadshot. Oh look, that's Will Smith.
Right. That's Big Willie style with a weird eye.
Yeah, you're right.
Gotta watch out for those big willies with weird eyes. I mean, James Gunn turned an obscure comic book team into one of the most loved and, you know, celebrated teams in Marvel, in the MCU, which is already full of successful characters and teams and offshoots, and they're household names now. Like, you can name pretty much any of the core team members and people know who they are. You can say I'm Mary Poppins, y'all, to a whole bunch of people, and they'll know what you're talking about. Like, it's he was responsible for, in his own small, like, in its own little part of the comic fandom, but like a little cultural, you know, milestone.
Now, if they don't put Michael Rooker in the after credit scenes of the new Mary Poppins movie, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, that would be
phenomenal. Even if he just had a bit part as like a chimney sweep or something.
Yeah. But as soon as this was announced, Batista obviously was all over this, just chomping at the bit to jump to the Alliance or the Horde, depending on your faction alignment, and wants to work on this film. I think it would work, and I kind of want to see it even more now, especially if he's going to be directing. I don't see them giving him the writing job without having him direct it as well, considering that he did write Guardians 1 and 2 and direct 1 and 2 and literally and wrote like
3
and literally just helped back the trucks full of money into Scrooge McDuck's vault so that Disney heads could jump off the diving board headfirst into the money. So he's going to be directing. There's no way. There's no way he's not, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So then if Batista does come over, who does Batista play?
Well,
Bane was a good.
Yeah, the memory is Bane.
Clayface. Give me a Clayface. I don't know if he's ever Suicide Squad, but that is DC. I love Clayface. Bane could do that too.
A lot of people are talking about Sutherland Grundy.
Oh, yeah.
Is he big enough? I mean, I guess I can CGI the bigness. Because Sutherland Grundy, if I'm not mistaken, is like a mini giant, right? He towers over Batman. And Batman's an average height, 6 foot, whatever.
Yeah, we don't have the technology to make, you know, Mark Ruffalo into a hulking green monster. So you're
but that's right. Obvious CGI as opposed to Grundy, which you would always be. I don't know. I think it could work. You're right. You're right. It could work. But I was thinking more long lines of like Drax, where it's actually him made up type of deal. And for my character, I don't know, man. That would be.
Some people are also throwing out Bizarro. And I don't know how I feel about the Bizarro. I like the Bane. I mean, that's hilarious. But, you know, Batista's quippiness is what makes Drax so adorable. And his acting skills are really good. I mean, I hate to bring Blade Runner up another episode, but he fucking killed it in the only, 10-15 minute scene that he had in Blade Runner. It was wonderful.
So you said it might be a reboot versus a sequel.
Correct.
If it's a reboot, Killer Croc. Because I can't say it, Adewale did great, but they didn't write well for him. But if you do a reboot, typically you change out the actors and actresses, right? So if you're going to do a reboot, I think Bane can do Killer Croc.
You're not wrong, but then are you going to... See, then you get into these muddy-ass waters where it's like, all right, so we're going to bring some actors back to play... I mean, they're not going to drop Harley Quinn and...
No, you're right.
And What's her name? And Will Smith. I forget the actress's name who plays...
Amanda Waller.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to recast everyone below them? I mean, that gets
weird. It's been done. It does get weird. It's been done. I'm not saying you should do it. If you're going to bring most everybody back, bring them back and then add new characters.
I've also been reading that since Aquaman comes out this winter, you could introduce Black Manta onto the team if you're going to do a reboot. Some people are also talking about Deathstroke coming
KG
in.
KG Beast.
Gorilla Grodd has been thrown around if they're going to not use him in the upcoming Flash film. So there's so many questions, and I'm, for the first time in a very long time, probably since Batman Forever, that's not true, The Dark Knight, I've been hyped for a DC film. So we'll see. I mean, you know, gun watch. I'm on gun watch right now.
Oh, Lord. So, Paul, the legitimacy of this, because it's been somewhat announced, but we haven't seen.
It's been confirmed.
Yet. Well, yeah, but because Warner Brothers actually is the one who announced it, right? Like that came out. Well,
there was a rumor, then Warner Brothers confirmed it, that James Gunn is in discussions to write with an eye direct. There's no contract yet.
Right, and there's no project.
But if they're even talking to him and they're willing to admit that publicly, then they're almost assuredly going to iron this out and make it work. And they have an interesting situation with Gunn because a lot of his options probably closed up after the Disney drama. So, you know, because there are going to be a fair amount of companies out there who don't want to sign a guy like that to handle projects for the same reasons that Disney didn't want to. Right or wrong.
Sure.
I'm not getting into that again. But the point is, Disney had their reasons for making their decision. It was clearly they weighed the pros and cons of this really successful writer slash director versus the drama and the fact that they didn't want all that negative press, and they decided to fire him. Warner Brothers has openly admitted that they're talking to him to direct Suicide Squad, write and possibly direct Suicide Squad, which means that they're welcoming that attention, you know? So that almost assuredly means that this is going to happen. I feel like.
I cannot wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, and I was just going to further expand that by saying he's done time with the MCU, right? So what do you get out of James Gunn right now? You get someone who is a successful writer, director, who, like I said earlier, made a obscure team into a household name, wrote each of those characters in such a way that they became lovable and immediate. I mean, every single team member of the Guardians of the Galaxy are a hit, right? None of them are duds.
No.
Not a single one of them.
No.
Drax could have been the worst character ever. He could have been he could have been the Korg of those films, where it's like, oh, I see what you're trying to do, but I don't really care. You know what I mean? I feel like that's how a lot of people responded to Korg.
Fuck you, Frank.
But he wasn't. He was hilarious in his own way, and that came completely out of Gunn's writing.
Yeah.
So now Gunn can come over to DC, and he brings all of that experience and knowledge with him too. Not just the ability to take a team of misfits and turn them into a lovable family, but to also be like, yo, so this is how we did it when we made these two films that I made with the MCU. Oh, by the way, I wasn't just involved in those two films. I was involved with other films to a much lesser degree. He can bring all of that knowledge and expertise into DC and say, this is how they do things. And he could be the stepping stone to DC really cleaning up their act.
Yep.
This is like a pro sports team taking that linchpin, you know, team captain type guy away from another team, you know, when he goes free agent. The example in sports would be somebody who's a little bit washed up at the end of their career when the team that has them undervalues them and lets them go. But this guy's young. Gunn is not, and you know, Gunn has another 30, 40 years of tasty, tasty writing ahead of him. This could be a match made in heaven. He could become the next Kevin Feige over at DC if things go well.
And like the Dark Phoenix, he will rise again, and this will be the jumping point to start his second half of the career. And you're not wrong. I mean, if this goes well for him, you're right, Paul. He could be the puppet master reshaping. They already said they want to reboot the fucking DCU. Mm-hmm. They want to. Who better to reboot it with than James Gunn? And I could see him falling into that role and just moving puzzle pieces around. But also, I mean, he's talked about wanting to do DC movies and working with DC characters for a while. I mean, he's thrown out names like Jonah Hex and Swamp Thing to do films on. Now I know Swamp Thing is getting his own series, but I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful film, and I hope it goes off well. I'm just more excited for when the Russo brothers leave Marvel and then come over and do a Hawkman movie. I think that's going to be fun. We'll see though. I mean, I really have high hopes for this, and if this is what they're building their future off of, I'm ready to fucking subscribe to their service and start actually buying the books.
So
the Russo brothers need to do Howard the Duck, though.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that. As a fan of comics in general, it has pained me for a long time that these DC films are so bad, because they deserve to be better. You know, DC does have legitimately great stories to tell, and now they've got a great storyteller who has experience with this stuff, and like you said, Phil, and like I said, they can build off of this.
Yep.
And this, I would love to see Disney rue the day they got conned. Seriously, like, you cut this guy loose at his height. You know, my prior example in a sports analogy, this would be like cutting LeBron at the height of his career and being like, you know what, we don't need you. You got a little bit too much controversy around you, and letting somebody else sign him, and then they go win championships. You know what I mean? That could be what happens here. But here is the caveat. Warner Brothers has to pull their head out of their ass and let James Gunn do what James Gunn does.
I was going to say that. Warner Brothers needs to shut the fuck up and sit down and let the man run.
You're not wrong, but I mean, he can also bring that to the table when he negotiates his contract. Just like, yeah, have you heard of these two films? Just get off these nuts and let me jumpstart your very dead franchises, please. So I'm amped.
And this is going to, on top of that, all of the drama with Gunn is going to bring so much attention to whatever project this is. And there are going to be people who show up out of protest against Disney, who buy tickets because they're like, no, fuck you, Disney, for what you did to James Gunn. And right or wrong, I'm not passing judgment on that. I'm still very conflicted by Disney's decision. I think it was a bit hasty, but I understand where they were coming from. I think this is a bold decision from Warner Brothers. And I applaud it because I think they're in a position where they need to make a bold decision right now. They need to do something different. They need to get somebody who's tried and tested here, and they've struggled even with, you know, the people they've had involved so far. I mean, the whole Geoff Johns thing didn't work out, and we still don't really understand why. We don't have any insight into what happened there. I just think it's insane that didn't work out. So this could blow up in their face too, because they could bring him over. They could end up paying him a lot of money to do this. He could pump out like one or two good films and nothing else comes of it. They'll just be the shining lights in the darkness that is the rest of the DC films lately.
It will still have a dark filter over the camera though.
So. Almost certainly. Yeah. I mean, that would be, honestly though, that would be a bold step away too, is if he did what he did with Guardians, where he brought, because if you think about it, Guardians brought a really crazy color palette in, you know, for like the design.
Yeah,
of course.
They're like, oh, we're doing cosmic. Let's do all these crazy fucking colors and everything, and let's really liven this up. And it looked great. And I think that it has a lot more punch when you see the bright oranges and yellows and against the blues and all that kind of stuff that really pops. If they do something similar with Suicide Squad, where it's not this dreary mess and they really let these characters embrace their uniqueness, each and every one of them. Because I will say, I think that's one of the mistakes that the Arrowverse has made, is that they the costume design and everything, everybody looks like an iteration of Arrow. And everybody looks really, you know, super serious and everything. And there's no flamboyant out there costuming or anything for the most part. And it sometimes that works, man, if you do it right, if you do it smart. And they did that with Guardians. So we'll see. We know he's very hands-on, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving to the next one, I'll try to do this correctly. I probably missed mark here. But Ruby Rose. We know we've talked about Ruby Rose being Batgirl and having her own series. And honestly, I hadn't seen a whole lot of news about moving forward or what was going on until tonight. I was very excited to see, because on the Arrowverse, you just mentioned the Arrowverse, right? And how they're just kind of, well, they have their color palettes kind of monotone. It's 50 shades of green going on over there. So they have their big annual crossover event coming, which I was just going to watch the crossover event. I haven't watched Supergirl since season one. It's just not my thing. Arrow, halfway through season five, I just stopped caring. Flash, I still like Flash. The ripoff of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I love that one. It's just goofy. Filled face.
DC Legends?
Yeah. It's fun, though, to watch your face get mad at me and you not say.
No, not mad, just confused. Yes.
All right. But no, DC Legends of Tomorrow is really fun. So I'll watch Legends. I'll probably watch some Flash. But then I found out tonight that they're going to debut Ruby Rose's Batwoman in the Crisis on... Is it Infinite Earth or is it just Crisis on Earth? Or Crisis was last time. What are they calling this one? No, this is Crisis. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a teenager.
Yeah, I'm not up to date.
Yeah, but it's a crossover event. So Ruby Rose will be back, and she looks boss as shit, man. She looks awesome. As opposed to, what did we see earlier, Phil? The biker... coming to Krypton.
Oh,
Lobo?
Yeah,
Lobo.
I cannot remember any
Lobo days looks fine for Lobo. Lobo, see,
y'all fuckers let me drink for 45 minutes without doing the show. I can't remember shit. We just got started.
You're straight. straight stupid yeah. right now.
Yeah, you know.
Oh man.
But yeah. No, I just awesome. I think Lobo looks like shit. But Ruby Rose looks awesome as hell. And I loved Birds of Prey when it was on way back in the day because it was the only thing doing that kind of thing. I doubt it holds up today. It probably doesn't. It probably is shit. But that's the only comparison, so this is going to blow that out of the water. It's going to be awesome.
I can't believe I'm going to watch a CW crossover event.
You're going to have to just for this.
I know I am. And I've never watched a single CW show, and yet I'm going to have to tune in for this because...
You haven't watched Supernatural?
No, nobody does. Except
That's the next big project after the next one that we're doing.
No.
I filled out and make him watch every episode of Supernatural.
No, I'll just hang myself.
But you'll be tied down. You can't do shit.
she looks dope as shit. And I have yet to show my wife, Suzanne, this, but she's going to lose her shit, especially to see Ruby Rose as a redhead. That's all it's going to take for Suzanne to watch every episode of Batwoman.
I just saw her in something. It might have been The Meg.
My wife?
Yeah. No, Ruby Rose. I think it might have been The Meg, but whatever. I saw her in, I was like, man, she was
awful. In The Meg. She was also, she's been on a bunch of stuff. She was on Orange is the New Black. And I can't remember any of the other stuff. I've seen her in, she was in John Wick 2. She was good in that.
That's right. She was in John Wick 2. Yeah. She broke the rules, right? She's the one who broke the rules. Yeah.
So I think she's talented. I think this is going to be great. I think this is going to be really important to the LGBTQ community because this is the first time we've had a gay main character. And so this is going to be pretty big for representation. And I think that's going to garner it a lot of extra support that it might not have gotten otherwise if it wasn't, you know, this character. So I hope that this is just a knockout for CW. I hope it just is like amazing. And I hope that they learn some lessons from the other stuff they've done. Cause I do think they've lost some steam, and it's time to, they have a new chance here. They have a chance to kickstart a lot of what they're doing again. And you know, this show could be great. If it's Arrow just with a gay lady main character, that's not going to resonate with a lot of people. It's got to be different. Yeah. It's got to be new and fresh. But if they really lean into the Batverse angle of doing things, I think it could be really exciting.
I agree. You throw a little Gotham in there. Throw some of the Netflix Marvel, right? Some of the good parts of Daredevil in there. Get that darkness, but get the action. Get the good dialogue. Have it mean something. Quit giving me the Chris Wisdom faces.
So what? What's that mean? Like somebody getting their head smashed in with a
car? Well, yeah, it's Batgirl. You got to have some of that. But then you got to have actual dialogue that matters and not just have, she's in love with this one this week. And, will it work out or won't it work out? Will the secret get... Fuck you, CW! Sorry.
I think this is going to be a jumping point on a different storytelling of CW.
I hope so.
I really do. I think they're taking a property that they know is held in very high regards, and they're not... Oh, fuck. I hope not. But I would hope and think that they're not going to CW it up for the mainstream audience. You know, they have I'm just saying they have a great character. They've been writing for her for many years perfectly, and I think that just I this is going to transfer over really well. I hope, and I'm going to watch it with Suzanne no matter what. So,
was she into Charmed as well? She liked Charmed.
I don't know. She was more of a Buffy person than she was a Charmed person.
Everybody's more of a Buffy person than a Charmed person.
Suzanne's more of a My So-Called Life and a Daria than anything else.
So.
Nope.
No. Yeah, no.
Okay.
That's all MTV. Nobody remembers when MTV actually had TV shows, dude.
My So-Called Life was not. All right. Anyway.
What am I thinking of, Dan? I thought My So-Called was the gay guy in there in high school. It's she became Claire Danes. Claire Danes show.
Was that on MTV?
My So-Called Life?
I'm pretty sure that was on MTV.
Yeah, I think it was on MTV.
Yeah.
No, it was on ABC.
Was it?
It was on ABC. Yeah, so put your middle all finger right. down, dick brains.
I was about to do a fake mic drop, but all right.
Yeah.
So what are you craving, man?
What am I craving? Oh, some double cheeseburgers.
Oh, God damn, that'd be good right now.
Oh, my God, right? Or some, I don't know, some Qdoba. I mean, they got free guac. But I'm also a little surprised to hear that with the box office success of Venom.
Why do you struggle saying that together?
That the Kraven, the Hunter solo films is being pushed into production. Kraven is one of my favorite. And I know, Charles, this is hard for you to hear. Spider-Man is a good hero and that people actually like him. You know, you can't just live in this hateful world where an uncle says one thing and it resonates in your bones so deeply that you can't hear through, you know, your hate. But you got to think, as Spider-Man is Marvel's Batman, and that's why Spider-Man has the best villains in the MCU. So Kraven, the fucking Manhunter, is getting his own film, and he is one of my favorite villains from the Spider-Verse because he's so intelligent. He's going to transfer beautifully into a smart... Oh, geez, I hope they don't do what they do with Venom. But he's going to have... He's just very smart and has reasonings behind every one of his actions. And I hope whoever they cast to do it, Rami Malek, is going to play it really well.
Nice pick.
And kind of has that feel that the Falcon had in Homecoming, you know, where there's reasons and justifications
right. behind every action. No, I agree. I think it was you who said it should be like a Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah, that was certainly me.
That was me.
I'm pretty sure I was Philip.
It was me.
Chris Wisdom will write in and back me up. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, in 6 years when he actually listens.
Yeah, we actually listen this year.
But I'm stoked. I mean, he's a wonderful manhunter. You know, he's just hunting men is what he does best.
Say it a few more times, Phil. We don't really believe you yet.
Men. Help me out, Paul.
No, Kraven is a great character. I don't think Rami Malek is the pick.
You are wrong.
They need a Russian dude or a dude that passes as Russian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did he not just play the lead singer of one of the greatest bands of all time and then completely slate it in that role? Yeah, you're right.
Did that movie come out yet?
It hasn't, but the reviews have. So
I was like, wait, what? Fuck you. You haven't even seen it. I'm excited to see that movie, though. So, yeah. They're going to get somebody who looks the part, obviously, I think. It'll definitely be Tom Hardy.
Not true. Because
Kraven enunciates.
Yep. Way to take my meme.
You know, when we actually have Tom Hardy on the show, both of you, it's just going to be me and him talking because we're going to get it.
It's going to be just mumble talking to each other. You guys will be like the mumble rappers of podcasting.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're going to be best bros. I'm going to be in the next fucking main film.
So then if you don't think it's going to be Rami Malek, who is obviously perfect for this role, who would you put in Kraven's spot?
Ooh, Melissa McCarthy.
I have permission to mute? I get muted all the time. How do I mute?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who I would think of right now that would be the right pick for it. I'm coming up with nothing right now.
Cavill.
Yeah, I was almost going to make that joke, too. I was going to be like, oh, Cavill. Cavill's got time. It wouldn't be weird at all if Kraven looked just like Superman.
John Hamm?
No. I love John Hamm, and he can do almost anything, but he's not right for that kind of
role. Juan Camon is good for everything.
I'm just kind of dialing this in. I don't know that... Jason Statham, I don't know, he didn't quite He's popping into mind too, but I don't think he quite fits.
I think it's going to be somebody who's probably relatively not like A-list. I think it's definitely going to be like a B-lister.
I got one. You ready?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh,
he could probably do it if he can get the accent down. Yeah.
Yeah. I you know, he kind of has that craven look already, especially when he's in, you know, Negan form. And he's got that fucking intensity that Craven has. So that would be dope. I mean, they already got my money, unless it looks like the movie came out of, you know, 2003, and then I'll just skip it and then shit on it, as all my friends tell me it's good. But
nice foreshadowing for later.
I'm excited at the prospect of a Craven movie.
What if they did like Bond, or they changed it up, right? Bond was always tall, dark haired. And then they went with a blonde Bond. You know, would you be open to outside looks for Craven other than the dark, shaggy haired, fur vest wearing?
I think
genius.
I think you run a lot of risks when you try to do stuff like that with comic characters. Obviously some things need to be reimagined. Like the Thanos thing. The Thanos thing was really risky, right? They kind of reimagined the look of Thanos, and there was negative feedback initially on him, and they tweaked the CGI a little bit, and by the end of it, they arrived at something that worked. There's been a few other cases where they've really kind of messed with the overall look and feel of characters, but this is a arguably B-string Spider-Man villain that is one of the better villains, but he's not one of the well-known.
That's what I was about to say. He's better, but not well-known. Yeah.
Well, you're not wrong, but we also have to remember that they're trying to set up the Sinister Six.
Yeah. Right.
That's their end goal in all this. You know, we had the Vulture already in Homecoming. We're going to have Mysterio in Far From Home, my trip to Philadelphia. So Kraven is the next step before you introduce, you know, Electro or the Sandman.
Well, Kraven's not part of the classic Sinister Six.
He was part of the original Sinister Six.
I don't believe he was.
No, he certainly was from the 1964 comic, 1,000%, which is the original Sinister Six. Maybe not the most famous one, but the one that I want to see has Kraven in it. Especially because you already have the Vulture and Mysterio are already being introduced. It already looks like they're going towards that original Sinister Six, you know, time. Yeah.
That means they got to get a good Rhino.
Sandman.
Well, okay. Electro.
Electro.
The problem with that original team is they've already used Sandman and Electro in recent films.
And Doc Ock, but
yeah,
I mean.
But as you pull further away, establishing good films as they're trying to do, and the Spider-Man films, I mean, Vulture. When it was announced that even Raimi wanted to do a new Spider-Man and do a Vulture, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You want some old, bald, out of work, wash-up has-been who can't goddamn keep his suit flying half the time as a big bad? And then they made it awesome. They did it well and made it one of the best villains out there.
Well, but yeah, I don't know, dude. This is a tough call. Because I think the issue is Homecoming was built on that relationship with Marvel, and I don't think Sony is content with that relationship. I think they were trying to use it as a springboard to build out the Spider-Verse so that they could do more, you know, to basically so they could generate more revenue by doing films with those properties. I don't think they have any intention of relinquishing control back to Marvel of Spider-Man and all the associated characters right now, which is troubling because that means the Vulture thing is that may or may not work out, you know? A big part of why Homecoming worked was because Marvel was involved.
True.
Marvel Studios, you know, they helped plan and build that movie. If they had helped plan and build Venom, it probably would have been a little, because all the pieces were there. We'll talk about Venom in a little bit again, but like Venom, I still hold to what I said last week. Venom was not terrible, but it also wasn't great. You know, it could have been great. It could have been near Homecoming great. It had the potential. It just didn't get there. I don't know, man. It's tough. Like this is kind of like that whole Warner Brothers conversation with the DC stuff. Sony does not have a good track record. They have a mediocre track record. They have a better than DC track record, arguably, for the most part. Because even the ASM movies were more successful than some of the worst DC films were. But they've not been batting anywhere close to 1,000 for a long time, you know? This is a tough situation. And I think trying to build a big team film is something that they tried to do with the ASM films, you know, because they were building Sinister Six for that. You know, they had the Rhino, they had Sandman, you know, they had Electro. And it just fell flat, you know what I mean, with that second film. So I don't know what's going to happen. This is a really tough situation.
I can't wait for Fox to hire James Gunn to direct the Sinister Six film, and it's just going to be wonderful. Any
Fox
team
doesn't hold the rights to Sony.
Sony, sorry.
That would be cool. I just don't know that would happen.
No, it would never happen. I just want him to direct any team.
Everything, yeah, yes. Everything, yeah. Okay, I get it.
You even wanted to do the new Teen Titans movie?
Yeah, sure. I love, well, as long as it's a go film. You know, the top rated DC film.
So we're looking for a new third host on the show.
Yeah, please. Here,
I think Paul's looking for two new hosts on the show.
Applications at
fuck.
Yeah, send your applications at SoapboxClot.
Send it to Teen Titans Go Sucks Balls at mail.com.
Top rated film of DC history.
Oh good.
Well, here's a palate cleanser for you, Paul. Dresden Files, Jim. I always say it wrong. I say it butcher, but it's not pronounced butcher. Is there? Is it Jim, the author of Dresden Files?
I've always heard it pronounced as butcher.
I thought I heard something else, but
why would it?
Like I said, I don't know. I don't know anything's pronounced goddamn differently. You motherfuckers, let me sit here 45 fucking minutes drinking without doing a show. It's your goddamn fault. So Jim Butcher is in talks with Fox 21 Studios. To bring a new TV series of the Dresden Files to life. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the sci-fi version in, I think, 2007. I love Paul Blackthorne. That was my introduction to him and Dresden Files. Loved the series. Got me reading some of the books. I'm excited about this.
They got a whole bunch of my close friends are really big Dresden fans. Like, three or four of my close friends have read, well, let me rephrase that. They listen to them on audiobook. They've listened to all the stories. Those who have watched the Dresden show say that they got a lot of things right, but they kind of screwed the pooch on some things.
And I've heard that from fans, but it's
particularly, they went a completely different direction on how some of the characters looked and behaved. But another shot at this could be great. There is no reason why Dresden can't work, because it has all of the elements that has worked for other shows. It'd be great on what network is looking at this?
Well, it's not a network yet. It's a studio looking to make it. And I guess they're going to do maybe a pilot. And so, because the only line in this whole article that relates directly to this deal, or there's two lines. From Fox 21 Studios, according to Deadline, Fox 21 Television Studios has optioned the rights to the Dresden Files, and then it just goes and talks about the book.
Right, so that's Fox then. Fox is looking at doing this, which means they'll do a season and they'll cancel it. So, cool. We'll get a season of Dresden and we'll move on.
I'm saying the first time around, we got a season and moved on. So
you said they're offering the rights, though, correct?
Optioned rights, yeah.
So they're optioning the rights. I mean, could that not mean that, you know, a streaming service picks it up and then pays Fox the money?
It could.
I mean, could you not see Dresden working well on Amazon?
Oh, they're the rights holder right now.
Yes,
okay,
correct.
My mistake. So then they.
I don't know what that means.
I could see one of the streaming services could absolutely snatch this up for the right price. I could see Netflix doing this. I could see Amazon doing this. I could see them doing well with it.
I see this going on Amazon pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would prefer if it was on Netflix, but it's fine if it goes on Amazon as well.
It just seems that Amazon has been leaning more towards that fantasy-esque, you know, kind of things recently. So I could see this. But you're not wrong. I mean, it can really go either way for streaming services. I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I mean, it sounds fun, he said condescendingly.
I know one of the nitpick. Well, maybe it's not a nitpick. I don't know. What I thought was a nitpick was Dresden always carried the staff. In the TV show, Dresden carries a hockey stick as a staff.
Oh, I'm fucking in now.
I thought that worked great.
Hockey! Why did you not lead with that?
I'm sorry. Did I bury the lead? He's a hockey fan.
He's got a hockey stick and a gun? I'm number one fan. Number one fan right now. I can't wait for this to come to Netflix.
Go check out. Well, that was the sci-fi version. The Netflix, whatever version, might not have the hockey stick. So, but you can find the sci-fi version out there at some point right now.
Yeah. He's like Casey Jones with a gun.
Fedora. And magic. You know what's not magic? Fucking MoviePass.
Really?
I'm done with it, man. This is it. I'm done.
Lower your voice.
What have you done? Fuck, man.
Have you paid your bill this month?
We will
let you see two movies.
How about no movies? How about no movies is what they'll let you fucking see.
We will let you see Venom in 6 months and nothing but.
You know, so this has been going on for a couple of weeks now, and we've been trying to wait through the transition bullshit they pulled. And I finally got my wife to the point, it's like, no, we're done. And I'm going to do a chargeback on it for this month, because literally every time we go to check, you check in the morning, hey, at the two theaters you like, here's five or six different movies with eight different show times. Awesome. You check it at lunchtime, same thing. Other than, of course, as the times pass, they fall off. Fine. You get towards dinner time, all of a sudden there's only three movies available. But I was trying to take my daughter to see Venom for her birthday last night. That's what she wanted to go do. She wanted to see that movie. So all day we're checking it. And I even come home from work before her birthday dinner, and I open up the app, and there's two different movies. One's Venom. I forget what the other one is. And Venom's got three show times that work for us, and they're all listed. Great. Checked it before I left the house. It's got our showtime listed. Awesome. 15 minutes to movie theater. We get to the movie theater. I go to check in. Oh, there's been an error. Please restart movie pass. Restart movie pass. No fucking movies. There are no more. That's the message. There are no more viewings available today. Fuck you, Mitch Lowe. I shall goddamn piss and dance on your grave someday. Ugh. So angry at this bullshit. So, yeah, I'm going to charge back on them. And I'm going to cancel the subscription, and it's going to be my birthright passed down to generations to ruin them, and they shall always be enemies of the state.
You're still sub to them?
As of right this second, because we haven't picked up the phone and called and said, go fuck yourself.
Why are you still sub to them?
Because it was supposed to work to have three movies a month.
And when did that stop?
That stopped like three fucking weeks ago because of my wife. When's the last time you had your wife go, no, I want to do this? And you just went, fuck you, Heffa. I will cut this shit.
Well, I don't think you should lead off with fuck you, Heffa.
Probably not.
I think that's ill-advised.
I don't know, Phil, because I honestly wanted to cut them months ago when they started changing. Oh, we're going to do premium up pricing and this and that. And my wife, and she has a bit of a point. As long as she can work it her way on Tuesday nights, we get more out of it than they intend and they want. But when they started doing this, we're going to limit your showings. Fuck you. But she got one movie in. She got one movie in with the kids. We got that done. And then for the last 3 weeks, every time we try to get to a movie, it just disappeared.
Which movie did you get to see?
Go see.
Oh, my God. What movie did you see?
I don't remember now.
So I guess, you're using the service. So why are you going to use a chargeback on them?
We used it in September. We got charged in October, and they kept giving me zero movies at night. That's why I'm going to do a chargeback on them. Because you're selling me a product. Literally, the reason you charge something back is somebody does not fulfill what they sold to you. And when you sit there all fucking day and you show me, yep, the time is there. The time is there. And I literally hit the button to use it like I'm supposed to. And it errors. And then all of a sudden there's no viewing. And there was five people in that theater. Five. There was a 7:15, a 7:45, and an 8:15 show of Venom. So, you know, you could pick your poison on what you wanted to see. There was five people in my theater, yet there was no showings available. after I went to check in. Not before I went to check in, after. Fuck you, MoviePass.
It just sounds like an idiot tax.
It does. It does. And I'm goddamn done with that shit. So no more MoviePass even for you, Plots. It's done.
I think you should. I think you should wait it out.
I think you should keep paying us.
I think you should keep paying us. Them.
Oh, man. I can't. Dude, I don't understand how they're not bankrupt. I don't understand how their financiers haven't gone.
Give us money. See no movies. I don't see the problem.
I think you should give them money. See no movies. I don't really see a problem in this. What you need to do is start gifting.
You are the devil.
You need to start giving it out as gifts for people.
I should buy annual memberships for all the GSU hosts.
No. Your local people down there, don't bring that shit up. No.
That you gonna sling some mud. You go get dirty, motherfucker.
I will forward you my co-host on Botched, a D&D podcast. Addresses, socials, and birth dates.
Should we buy it for Mike as a bonus this year? Like, hey, Mike, you've done such a great job with the show.
Here's 3 years of MoviePass. Now, we charged your card for it.
Yes, this is delicious.
Yes, this is delicious.
Jonathan, that's going to be your bonus this year too, just so you know. So, God damn it, man.
Well, it sounds like everything's going well. You've really talked me into it. I don't watch things at home, let alone at the movie theater, but I'm really considering signing up for MoviePass now.
This is true talk, man. This is the one time. If we ever in the same room with Mitch Lowe, I don't care if it's a dinner, I don't care if it's goddamn church, unless it's a funeral, I'll respect people's grief and whatever. Other than that, if I see that motherfucker, Paul's going to have to haul my ass out of the room because I'm going to start yelling, you're a stupid son of a bitch. You rip people off. You should fucking die. Hitler was better than you.
Whoa.
Fuck Mitch Love.
First of all, stealing like $10 a month from you is not the same as ethnic cleansing. Also, let's be real. CEOs are not evil people. They are just serving the system.
Is this your first cult?
What kind of bullshit are you spewing?
Is this the first time you've joined a cult?
No, I was part of Columbia House in the 90s.
You're kind of, right now you're in Scientology light, so I feel like you're ready to make the jump. No, I mean, come on. It sounds
great. No, do not use my real name in public.
No, don't use his real name in public. I'm sorry. What? I don't know what keeps happening to me.
This bit is pissing me off. I want to go. I want to go now. Somebody hit the brake button.
Lord Xenu has spoken.
What he said, or she.
We'll be back after this sacrifice.
Patreon.com/breakingthepanel is where you go to support the show. For as little as $1 a month, you can slip us the tip. $3 a month gets you into the Discord and gets your voice heard on each topic every week. $5 a month gets you those exclusive panels on movies, television shows, and behind-the-scene uncut weekly episode videos. $10 a month brings you into game nights, where you can come bust our balls and we'll bust yours as we play Rocket League and other shit. $50 a month, that is for the executive producers. You get your name read at the end of each episode as an EP, and you get to help craft the show and help us pick topics for each weekly episode. That's patreon.com/breakingthepanel.
All right, I'm going to go play Mario Party. See you later, nerds.
Welcome back to Breaking the Panel. Phil's doing some awesome stuff. That's all I'm saying. You need to check out the videos over at patreon.com/breakingthepanel for that. Paul, you filled in this awesome goodness for the back half of the show. So we've got some casting for The Witcher show.
Yeah, Witcher's moved forward with some more casting announcements. They've announced the actresses for Ciri and Yennefer.
Oh, so you just triggered everyone's iPhone. Yeah, like, hey,
Ciri, search Yennefer. Okay, Google, search Yennefer.
Hey, Alexa, search Yennefer.
Hey, Alexa,
search Yennefer, rule 34.
Whoa! That's not going to come through on an fucking echo, you dumb dick.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Triggered my echo.
My friend seriously posted that his toddler was trying to say he learned how to put food on the grocery list and said, add biscuits. But Amazon added, Alexa on Amazon added bitch tits to the grocery list. So, yeah, it comes through. All right, carry on with the real story, though.
So, Freya Allen and Anya Chalotra.
Anyan.
joined Henry Cavill as Ciri and Yennefer, respectively. Basically, I just wanted to talk about, you know, they're moving forward with the casting announcements. That's good news. That means they're going to start production soon, I would imagine. But the really exciting thing that came out of this is I did not realize that the showrunner is Lauren Schmidt-Hissrit. I don't know if I pronounced that right, and I apologize.
I'm glad you're the one trying, though.
Nailed it.
Who was a producer on Netflix's Daredevil and The Defenders, will run the show, exec produce, alongside of House of Cards and Game of Thrones' Alex Sakharov. So there's some pretty strong talent there. You know, people who have come from other successful shows that were really fucking good. So I'm thinking that this has every potential to be a slam dunk. There's not much more to report other than just this casting announcement. This was interesting because this kind of ties into what we talk about on a regular basis about fandom and social media. She tweeted on September 10th. She's like, it's time for a Twitter hiatus. The love here is amazing and the hate is enlightening. Like a real life trial of the grasses, except I have to read less and write more or we won't have a damn finale. Be back soon with more insight and more Roach, which is the horse that Geralt rides. Be nice to each other. Okay. She's returning
the Roach you wrote in on.
Yeah. But I just think it's really interesting that creatives now also have to like take Twitter breaks, because otherwise I couldn't imagine trying to write a show like this or even a film where people know you're attached to the project and you're responsible for it. And just the amount of hounding you must get and the feedback and everything. It's insane. I just couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Harmon.
Mm.
To Rick and Morty season 4. I mean, before they even got their deal, it was a good 3 to 5 months, right? Before the series ended for season 3 and them signing that big deal. It was just any post was, where's season 4? Why aren't you writing season 4? Do season 4, season 4, season. He's like, I'm not going to put all the fucking work into something that I'm not signed up to do. Like, get off my dick, Twitter. And then, you know, he finally got smart and just left Twitter. But no, it's social media. Oh, boy. It's what is it good for? Self-promotion. Absolutely. Yes, you're right. but I'm actually Witcher curious. I have never played a single Witcher game. And as much as everybody tells me that Gwent is great, I'm kind of looking forward to it. And the fact that they're bringing in two actors to play, am I wrong? Are they like the main female roles in The Witcher, Paul?
There's generally throughout, I believe, all three games, there Yennefer and
Ciri.
Not Ciri. I'm trying to remember the name of the other one. There's two main female love interests. They're both sorceresses. And then Ciri is a child initially that becomes Geralt's daughter figure.
Okay.
They develop a relationship like that. The Witchers, which there are more than one of, I mean, Geralt is the Witcher that is the main, you know, protagonists of the stories, but there are other witchers. It's all, you know, there's a schools and such and different houses of them all. But basically they're part of their enhancements that allow them to be, you know, basically more powerful than the average person is that they be part of the treatments make them sterile. So they can't sire their own children.
Sure.
So he takes Ciri under his wing essentially as a daughter figure.
Kind of like the Hound did with Arya.
Similar, but more, much more affectionate and less like angsty.
Okay.
I mean, there's still some angst. Ciri's kind of an angst-ridden character in Witcher 3.
But, so it's yeah. like The Last of Us.
A bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I'm actually thrilled. And this is what I like of what Netflix has an MO of doing is finding these actors who don't have that many credits to their name and then completely just boost them into stardom. Because I'm excited for this. We're going to start losing Game of Thrones. January is when Game of Thrones final season airs. Yep. Anybody? Yes. And I'm looking to, you know, replace my sword and board fantasy television watching. So, and I think, I don't know. It's going to be interesting for me coming in blind. I'll be able to give a different angle than a lot of the Witcher fans. Are going to be looking at it. So we'll see.
I played like the intro tutorial to one of the more recent Witcher games. I think it was free on Xbox Gold.
Probably Witcher 3.
Last year. Yeah, probably. It seemed cool. Is at the time, it I didn't know much about it, and it was just in a time that everything was shifting. I just didn't have time to play. So I don't know much about it. But I know this. When Paul gets all up on a property, it's usually pretty damn good. So
it is a good series, both story wise and gameplay, but it's not everybody's cup of tea. I'll be honest with you. It has a unique, the third game is vastly different from the prior two. The combat system and everything, the crafting system is a bit different. But it's, you know how like people talk about Skyrim because like you can just kind of wander around and do whatever you want and like go find little bits of story and everything. It's similar to that in that it's an open world game, but the story bits are actually way better than Skyrim.
So it's Fable. Got it.
I don't know if I would say that. I don't have a tremendous amount of experience with Fable, but the story is, but it's also rooted more in traditional mythology as well. Cause it's all based on a book series written by a Polish author. And so it's based in like Slavic and, you know, Central European myth.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it calls on a lot of like Slavic stuff, calls on a lot of Eastern Europe, myth. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that surrounds like your classic monster movie type stuff is present, like your, you know, your vampires and stuff like that. But, all kinds of...
Oh, God, I wish I didn't know that going in. God damn it. But I'm fucking sold. That's kind of my jam, so...
I wasn't listening, so I'm good.
Great, you never do. That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And
because the Witcher is a monster hunter, basically. Like, he hunts down, you know, ghosts and guests.
Oh,
all that kind of stuff.
Damn it. Fuck this show. I could have used a spoiler. God, yeah, done, sold, double sold. I want to fucking watch a Van Helsing that doesn't suck.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is a really, yeah, really great Van Helsing. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of rooted in a time period in European history where it's, like you said, sword and board. You know, yeah. There's other people running around in armor and swords and bows and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of the story is involved with the politics and stuff and religions that he bumps into and stuff, you know, like, cause there's cultists and all that kind of, it's crazy. It's, I don't know how much they're going to bring into the show, but it has every bit of potential to be as nutty as the games have been in its own way. Streamlined, but.
So it sounds a little bit like Assassin's Creed meets Monster Hunter.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But better. I mean, but better. I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it a little bit. I mean,
it's got more in common with Van Helsing than anything. It's just not. It's not Western European. It's Eastern European instead.
Sure.
It is live action Castlevania with politics.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. I'm fucking. Oh God.
Now, Phil,
I'm three C's right now.
I know you're. I know you are. I know you're right on the edge and the cusp. You want to go over the edge? I just got an email. Borderlands 2 VR.
Yes.
December. Oh, my God.
So I read about this a little bit yesterday. And our friend and patron over at Botch, Shannon, just had her hard drive crash on her computer. And then no more than 5 to 10 hours later, she finds out that Borderlands, her favorite video game series of all time, is now having VR come out. And she's like, how am I going to pay for all of this? Are you fucking kidding me? So, yes, VR Borderlands, man.
I don't even have the PlayStation VR. And I'm going to have to go hit my buddy up, Bobby Blackwolf. I'm going to be like, Bobby, coming over to play with your shit.
And it's
oh, man.
It's a bad time to get a VR-enabled video card for your PC.
No kicks on Bitcoiners. So,
yeah. Oh, man. But I know. I can't wait. There's no way that you can even Twitch watch that and get the experience. But one day my dream will come true and I'll get to have nice things.
One day my prayers will come. All right, Sony is going to allow you to change your PSN ID pretty soon, it looks like.
Yeah, this is interesting stuff because basically, as anybody knows who has a PlayStation account, your name's locked once you create the account. Mm-hmm. And there are tons of people who are like, dude, I made that account when I was young, dumb, and full of
stupidity.
Oh, like 10 years ago when you put out some tweets and you get fucking railed against it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That was the movie pass demon.
So this is exciting stuff. It's going into beta. It's going to be on PS4 only initially. But you'll potentially be able to change your names here. And so this is exciting for a lot of people who have older accounts that would like to change their names. I know I would like to change some of my account names. I'd also like to merge two of my accounts, if I'm honest. I just don't know how feasible that is. Because I do have – when I play Titanfall 2, I have to log into my old account because it has my rewards from like the Mountain Dew promotion that happened when that game first came out.
Yeah.
And it's like I want those unique skins and stuff you can't get any other way that I have unlocked. So it's a thing. This isn't huge news, but it is pretty cool. And it'll matter to those of you who are smart enough to have a PlayStation 4 in your life.
Well, what took them so long? I mean, Xbox has been doing this since the 360.
And Xbox makes money on it too. They charge.
You want to change your name? Give us $10.
Well, so that's the thing. Here it is. The first change is free. Changes after that will cost $10.
That's how Xbox.
Sure. Works. Yeah. But I'm just.
Or for PS Plus members, it only cost $5 after the first change.
But I'm just wondering what took them so long to allow people to change their names.
Honestly, I think it's just one of those things that isn't a high priority, you know?
Sure, but I'm sure it's been in demand since the PS3 has come.
Yep.
So I have a little bit issue with the Sony naming parameters anyway. So I'm a little pissed at Sony, and I've always been, because my marquee that I always use is Imaginary Nomad, correct? Mm-hmm. It's what I normally go by. I wasn't allowed to use Imaginary Nomad on PSN because it contained foul language.
What? I'm trying to figure out where in there is the foul language.
Well, I spent a good hour trying to figure that out as well.
Gene? Like Vagine?
But in the middle of Imaginary is the word gin.
Oh.
I was not allowed to use Imaginary Nomad.
Oh, come on.
So I was forced to take the I out of Imaginary Nomad. And as soon as I did that, it passed through completely with no problems. So I've been bitter about their naming rules for a while.
Yeah, that's dumb, man.
That's funny because we bumped into that with Rocket League. Rocket League's recent updates made it so that certain usernames from the various platforms are now all blocked out. They're starred out if they don't meet a certain filter setting. Because I'll be honest with you, there's been some foul names off of Steam and particularly profile pics as well. I've seen straight up porn as people's profile pics, and their names have been really, really distasteful. So it's interesting that you're starting to see these various services crack down on that stuff, but it doesn't always make sense. I run into that with Pokemon Go. You cannot, what was it? Jigglypuff. So the way I use my naming convention is I list the second half of the IVs I have on Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Sure. So I will delete or I will tack it on at the end. And with Jigglypuff being such a long word, I have to delete at least one F to get the three digits in there. It will not let me delete one F and put three digits on the end of Jigglypuff because for some reason it hits their, you know, their filter. And I'm like, it's a Pokemon name. Like, any portion of the Pokemon name should be fine.
Jiggly F 69.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't fully understand it.
And I know it's just like a computer, an algorithm, sure, seeing that Jin is in my name. But also, like...
But that's where you got to tweak the rules.
A little bit. And change
Jin, Jin drinker 25. Sure, whatever. Even that's just stupid. It's just stupid. But, you know, ginger giant. Nope. Can't do that.
No.
Imaginary. Anything. Nope. Context. Fucker.
So, yep.
Yeah. So that's about all we got for the second half of the show here. We can talk about some reading, watching, playing. I guess I'll kick off because I'm at the top of the list because I'm the best.
The best there never was.
I've not been sitting at my PC much lately because my computer chair is still broken. And I know that seems like a weird reason, but
it's not perfectly comfortable, good reason. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I weird too.
Yeah. It's weird how it changes your life sometimes. So I have been watching. I've been watching a lot more Netflix lately and other services. And I binged the first two seasons of Wynonna Earp this past week. Pretty decent. As I was describing it before the show to Charles, I describe it as like Buffy light. It's a sci-fi show. You know, it's got that typical sci-fi, like it's a little campy. It's a little bit cutesy at times, but it's fun. I did like the way that the series kind of played with the whole Wyatt Earp, you know, tombstones mythology, if you will, based around those characters. Doc Holliday is a big part of the show. I really dig the characterization of Doc Holliday. So if you're into like very lightly associated to Wild West stuff and supernatural stuff as well, it's got a little bit of a supernatural vibe, literally the show Supernatural vibe, mm-hmm. Where Wynonna is the heir to Wyatt Earp, which means that she has his gun, which is essentially
a demon hunter.
Yeah, essentially she is given the power to send revenants, which are people who were killed by Peacemaker, Wyatt Earp's gun, back to hell. And they resurrect every time a new heir comes of age. So like I said, a little bit of Buffy, a little bit of Wild West stuff. But it was pretty decent. One of the reasons I was interested in it, though, is because we were talking about this before the show as well. Last year at Dragon Con, for how many truths is it? I forget. Is it five?
Five truths and a lie.
Five truths and a lie. One of the actresses from the show, Dominique Provost, I can't remember the second part of her last name, she was on that panel, and her story was really entertaining and funny and really awkward, and I felt really bad for her because it turned out to be true. But she's great on the show. She plays Wynonna's sister, Waverly. But a lot of the characters are really good on the show. It's a lot of fun. I really, really have a lot to say about Doc Holliday's characterization because it's without giving too much away, it's the actual Doc Holliday, and he still speaks in that, you know, that classic Wild West dialect, mm-hmm. and he's confused by technology and stuff. And
oh my God, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, he has to, at one point, he gets a car, and he has no idea what to do with it, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
But I've also, over the weekend, we played some of the new Mario Party for the... Not Wii. It's not
Mario.
A Wii
anymore. No, Rickle.
For the Switch.
Yes.
I have mixed feelings because, first of all, fuck Sean. He wins at everything. And he always did back in the day. About 10 years ago, we had a bunch of friends that used to hang out at my place, and we would get, like, seriously, nonstop games. We'd, like, max out the amount of turns and play Mario Party for hours and drink and get stupid.
Yeah.
And we'd have these marathon games. And we had a lot of fun back in the day, but Sean used to win all the mini games and therefore win most of the games, and I hate him. I hate him. Fuck him. Bullshit. But
that's my new favorite person.
What's really cool about this Mario Party, and I'm sure, Phil, you have a lot to say about this, is there's expanded modes. Like, there's not just a traditional board game of playing Mario Party. There's also this kind of nifty whitewater rafting mode where you, it's cooperative and you play all these mini games together and it's a lot of fun. And we did that. That was pretty fun. There's you can play just the mini games. There's a lot to the game. I was a little frustrated with how landslidey the main Mario Party game mode can be sometimes, but
try not to suck so bad.
Well, actually, okay, so one of the common complaints is the golden pipe is too cheap, and I agree with that completely.
Agreed, but I'll let you finish.
So I got to play the new Mario Party, and it was a lot of fun. If you've got kids or you got people who are like-minded who want to sit down and goof around for a couple hours, it's a great game for that. We had a lot of fun. The other modes are pretty neat. The amiibo function is pretty much useless because it gives you stickers, which is dumb. I'm not gonna play with stickers on pictures. Little kids might, but adults are not gonna mess around with that too much.
Dog shit.
Yeah. I mean, anything that's not in the game will give you like points, but you can only scan like 5 or 6 a day or something like that. So you get like 500 points a day. It's whatever. Wow. Anyways, Phil, go ahead.
So I actually went out and bought a movie and I watched it. I know, shocker. It is Halloween times, like I said last episode, and I have never seen a Friday the 13th film. I consider myself a horror fan, but have yet to see one of the great classic slasher films. So I went out and I bought the 8-pack collection of good Friday the 13th. There is no Jason X in space in this collection. But I sat down and I watched the first one, and it was actually pretty goddamn great. It was filmed in 1979 and was released in 1980. What were you going to say, Paul?
I was going to say there ain't nothing wrong with a little Kevin Bacon bump and grind.
So Kevin Bacon has there's a scene and there's a corpse above him as he completed his scene to completion. But it was pretty great. I mean, I did a little bit of reading behind it, and it was an indie film that actually got picked up by Paramount and then exploded. And they really shot the budget on nickels. I believe it was a $500,000 movie. It was to the point where most of the crew actually slept on camp as they filmed it because they were so tight on budget restraints.
Mm-hmm.
And it surprised the shit out of me. And it just made me realize that I really enjoy these older horror films, you know, anything from 60s, 70s and early 80s on horror, your Amityville Horror, your Exorcist. There's just a look to the film that they're filming on that is just, it's missed on today's horror. And it was great. You know, you don't see who the killer is in third person view until the movie's over, really. I mean, you don't see Mrs. Voorhees until the last 20 minutes of the film. And I liked that. Yeah. I liked that a lot. You don't get any music in Friday the 13th part one unless the killer is on set and on screen. So I really enjoyed that a lot.
How are you? Are you the type of fan who likes to see where stuff's made?
Yes. I was a film student, you know, so I've shot short films before and I know how much stress and hell it is and how you got to do all these things and you only have so much money. So how are we going to make this work?
So Crystal Lake is about 20 minutes from my house.
So yes, Crystal Lake is down by you, but they filmed.
I don't know if you're the kind of guy who wants to go see it or whatever.
Well, they filmed most of it in Jersey. So Camp Crystal Lake is down by you, but most of it was filmed in New Jersey. But I mean, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I also got Mario Party over the weekend. I'm gonna give it a solid
3 erect toadstools.
7.5.
Hated it.
Well, here's the thing. I do have some gripes with this game. Couch co-op, beautiful. Different modes, wonderful. It's a really back to form of what Mario Party was, because the last couple iterations were dog shit. Not Mario Parties. I mean, I even believe that the last one, you all rode around the board in a car, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
Which is what? So to see everybody having control of themselves and jumping around the board is great and fun. And me and Suzanne played 4 games, and I'm the greatest, even though it was a good time. I won everything. Ask nobody. But here's my greatest gripe about this. The online capability for Mario Party is awful. And it shouldn't be, because you just launched your online service. And this is your first big game that is a first-party title. You should be using Mario Party as a springboard to show the capabilities of your online play. And the fact that I cannot hook up with friends and actually play Mario Party mode is ridiculous. Now I can play 6 different mini games with somebody online if they're on my friends list, but I can't actually play the Mario Party mode online yet.
Will they patch part of the game?
Well, will they patch it in the future? Yes, I'm sure they will. Will they add more boards to Mario Party since there's only 4 right now? I'm sure. But again, they're shipping an incomplete game to market, and they did this before with Mario Aces. You know, the tennis game they shipped out. It was very lackluster. And let me remind you, these are both $60 games. Very underwhelming for $60. And as time has gone by, they have really amped up the Mario Tennis Aces and giving you different modes and co-op online and releasing a character every month. But that should be at the beginning. And especially for Mario Party, I want to play with Paul and Sean on my couch, and they're on their couch, and I want to play 90 rounds with them, but I can't yet.
That's a lot of rounds.
Will it get patched in? Of course it will. But don't send me an incomplete game and still charge me $60 for it. Delay it. Just to fucking delay it. If it takes that much time to complete a game, that's fine. You know, I can wait. But the fact that I spent $60 and then not being able to play online Mario Party with people is just, it's very frustrating. And I'm tired of apologizing for Nintendo. I mean, I'm still going to buy everything that they put out, but I'm getting tired of actually coming out here every week and saying yes, but to Nintendo. So I'm 6.57 with fluctuation when they put the rest of the content out that they've been probably planning and hoping to have out by now.
I have a very special place in my heart for Mario Party.
And so do I, and I love it. And that's, you know, we had couch co-op. Couch co-op is like a 9. The mini games, they're great. Me and Suzanne actually audibly laughed at some of the situations that we're having. It's just, it's such a damper because they literally just launched their online service, and then this is the first party game to come out with it. And this is, you should be fucking Phil Smash. Come on. I mean, everybody wants to play online with their friends and not just play 6 different mini games.
Yeah, I get that. Or they have.
I, on the other hand, have a special place in my heart for Bowsette. Moving on.
Well, there are stories about Mario Party that shall never be told.
quick side thing. Toad and Toadette in Mario Party are so fucking cute with those goddamn bow ties that they got at the beginning. Like, when you first start the game, it's like you see Toad with his little bow tie, and then you see Toadette right next to him, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Nintendo killing it with the character design, as
can
always.
Can I ask you, who is your main squeeze when you play Mario Party?
Well, we only played the one time. I played Bowser.
Okay.
Which, on the game board, is crazy because his die is ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, everybody has a different die, which I love that dynamic. And you can switch back and forth between a regular die and then your character die. Mm-hmm. And
you can also get sidekicks, which you get their die for a while as
well. Yeah. It's awesome. So, that's cool.
I don't know if this is... Do you know if this is true? I felt like the different characters had different attributes other than that as well. Like, I felt like Bowser moved a little bit slower than everybody else did in the minigames and stuff. Like, physically moved a little bit slower.
Well, I'm not sure because I only use Waluigi because I'm part of the Waluigi army. I'm actually corporal in that army.
Waluigi. What are you talking about?
It would make sense because in Mario Kart, you know, you have your all rounds, your lights and your heavies. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I'll test that and get back to you.
Hmm. Is it back to my turn again? Or
nobody plays Bowser. On
yeah. Mario go ahead, Mario. Charles, to talk.
One more thing about Mario Party is
No. Let Charles speak.
That's fine. Yeah, I like Mario Party. I'm enjoying stuff. I like God of War 3 too, because I beat the shit out of it and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, cool. And I publicly thought I was going to humiliate myself, and it actually wasn't that bad. I got back into Spider-Man this weekend for the first time after getting all the hell and shit from everybody, but also some good advice. And I just said, fuck it, we're going to live stream this train wreck. And it did all right. You know, I went through and unlocked all the towers, got all the backpacks, and then went and tried that fucking construction site thing that was giving me so much hell, and handily beat it pretty well. So I was like, oh, all right, look at that, level 6. Fuck my sons, though, because my 13-year-old and my almost 7-year-old, shut up. I know it's phrasing. Shut the fuck up. But those are little bastards, and I hate them because they are now playing the game. Within a day, my 13-year-old supremely surpassed my ass and just was fuck him. What's worse is my 6-year-old. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I'll help you when you need help. I'll get you through the boss fights where, and I'll get you where you can sing around the city. He practically took down Pingpin on his own. Like, you little fucker, get out of my house. But we do have actually some great video of him playing Spider-Man. And as any 7-year-old who's into a game does, he's sitting on the couch playing a battle. And without realizing, his foot's kicking out like he's kicking guys. And he's twitching. And it's awesome. He's fun. But, yeah, I got better at Spider-Man. And enjoying Kurt was watching. He's like, I don't understand why you hate this game. I said I hated the game. I never fucking said I hated the game. I said I didn't care for it because it wasn't my style. And it's still not, but it is getting better. It is getting better. You do get more powerful with the suits. And I spam that fucking, what's that one, Klotz, where you jump up in the air and you web everybody. I spam the shit out of that power when it comes out. Spider Tate. So that's what I'm watching and playing this week. I think I've talked about Better Call Saul. I got to the end of I thought it was older. I thought I was going to be able to binge from the very beginning to the very end of the series. And apparently the series is still going strong. And I caught up, which I fucking hate when I do something like that. You know, I mean, it's one thing to start new and go week to week. But when you're binging and you think you're not going to catch up because there's no – and then you do, it's like hitting a brick wall. Like, what the fuck just happened? So, you know what else I watched this week? Venom. I went and saw Venom. And I liked the shit out of it. It was a good movie.
I knew you would.
Yeah. Well, you know me well enough. I mean, you're right. I would actually say, though, in my opinion, I thought it was a good film. I thought
that's
the CGI was wrong. Good. can I ruin one line? I know we don't do spoilers. We do spoilers, but we try to. It's not a real. It's just a line.
Spoilers. Fast forward 30 seconds.
All right. I don't know what it was about the line that got me, but he's like, let's bite their heads off and pile them in the corner. And Hardy's like, why? Because you have piles of bodies and piles of heads. That line just killed me. I thought that was the best fucking line.
Well, yeah. And that's one of those lines that, like, some people are like, that was so fucking stupid.
But it shows the character of Venom. It just made sense to him, right? Right. I don't know. I dug it. I wish they had dug a little bit more into Venom's character change, like why he chose to, instead of eating everything on the planet and killing it, to, I mean, he says a line. I don't want to ruin the rest of it, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought Riot was pretty boss, but he was like Venom heavy. You know, it was just Venom plus some. I was hoping for it. Now, I don't know how well you guys are familiar with symbiotes, but
symbiotes.
But I was the colors of the actual goo. Are we getting hints that we might be, if this goes successful, we might be getting Scream and some of the others? Because I saw yellow, which is Scream, I think.
I think
so. White.
If I recall correctly, well, this is a spoiler, so.
Shut your ear holes, everybody. We can talk about it off.
We can talk about it after. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, they're hinting that it's possible.
Cool.
Basically. I mean, they set up.
Yes.
The post credits. However, oh, I did have one fucking gripe. Right. Motherfucker, stop making me sit through all the goddamn credits for post credit scenes. Because the end of the Spider-Verse thing was after all of the
credits.
So they did what, you know, what Marvel's been doing lately, where they do the initial, like the top couple
mid, people. Mid credit, yeah.
Mid credit, and then they do the mid credit thing. I'm fine with the mid credit thing. Making me sit through all of that in an actual movie theater is terrible, both to me and to the people who work at the theater. The people who work at the theater want to go clean that fucking theater and get it ready for the next showing. And they've got 15 assholes sitting there waiting for this post-credit scene that also runs forever. Nobody reads those fucking credits. Okay, let's be real. Nobody reads those.
I don't want to wait 3 minutes for my 30
seconds. Dude, it's not 3 minutes. It's like 10 minutes.
Not
fuck you.
10 minutes.
It absolutely is.
And secondly, first off, it's their fucking job to wait and clean. And secondly, the next showing is not for another 45 fucking minutes after the credits roll. So,
meh. Oh, no, that's not what we're doing. Sorry. I misread the room.
No, kind of, hold on. No. What's the next movie we're going to see?
I don't think we have shit to watch the rest of this year, do we?
Mm.
I mean, you're probably going to say something. I'm going, oh, yeah. But I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well,
because fucking Marvel stacked this shit weird this year, man.
When you go see Venom another time, Paul, pull your phone out after the movie ends and time them. Since I'm not going to go see it.
Exactly. Fuck you.
I mean, I told my daughter, so I took her for her birthday. I told her, it's like, you know, I just want a Marvel monster movie. And I got it. Yeah, I felt like I got that in spades. So it was fun. Hardy and his anger face. I get it, man. I fucking get it. It just, that neighbor. There are some funny lines. I don't know that we're going to get anybody on board for Fantastic Beasts 2, Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Well, we have Aquaman, Bumblebee, Glass.
None of y'all going to go see Bumblebee. I'm the only one that's going to see Bumblebee.
Yeah, well, you can do your panel by yourself. I mean, I'm going to go see Spider-Verse. I will be seeing Wreck-It Ralph.
So maybe that'll be the big one is Spider-Verse.
I'm amped for Wreck-It Ralph.
And yeah, Aquaman. We definitely will see Aquaman. That, you know, that would probably be our last big panel of the year. That's in December.
It's a couple days before Christmas. So I will take my timer out and I will time these credits for you, Paul. It will be my Christmas gift to you.
It was long, Paul. It was long. Yeah, I don't know.
It was a long time.
It felt like an eternity, but it was 3 minutes.
All right. Where can they find you on the webs, Phil?
A mad JunNaryNomad.com.
Jun, glug, 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 glug.
Imaginary Nomad at Facebook, Twitter, and Imaginary Nomad 1 on Instagram. It was Tom York's birthday on Sunday. So happy birthday, Tom York.
Meow,
meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Paul, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SoapboxGSTU, where I am occasionally checking it to see if somebody tagged me or whatever. You can also contact me through the show page. And yeah, and you know, same bat time, same bat channel right here every week.
Bye. I am all over the internet as Rock Out of Podcasting at Rock Out of Pod on Twitter. put out some stuff, do some stuff, things, some stuff. I don't know. I stuff the internet. That's what I do. Double stuffed. I'm going to go home. I'm drunk now. So, yeah, check out all the awesome stuff breaking the panel. We got FGH Beyond, which I'm not sure if it'll be solo this week. Well, I guess by the time this goes out, you'll have found out, because I got to teach tomorrow night after this recording when we normally would record FGH Beyond. But we might do a special episode Saturday. We'll see what's going on there. And then Sundays. Yeah. Sundays, if we can get together, Phil and I are troubleshooting the stream. Last week we used, well, last Monday actually, because we were too tired on Sunday, but Monday we troubleshot the stream and tried to get prepared for the next thing coming. And we did it on Pokemon Go podcast because that was the open channel at that time. So we, every time I start to cuss, I was like, we're not on our channel. Stop it. I'm like, yeah, right. My bad. So. Yeah, we had 8 people come out and watch us just talk about how we're tweaking the stream and stopping and starting the broadcast.
It was helpful. No, it was.
Yeah, they helped. Yeah. Yeah. So
we were getting our audio levels down and our stream set up. So I'm excited. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So until next week, Chris Wisdom, you are my prince, and I can't wait for you to come.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.